All right, let's start. We are going to take a break for a moment from the book of Revelation because chapters 2 and 3 talk about the seven churches. We studied that, right? Chapter 4 is about the heaven. It's like a preview of where we are going to stay for the eternal life. You better know where you are going to stay, right? It's a location, 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 right? So we're going to know where we're going to stay. But before we get there, there's one event we called rapture. We are going to learn about this rapture rather thoroughly this week and next week. So this is part one of the rapture. Wireless Emergency Alert System, also known as WEAs, are short emergency messages from authorized federal, state, local, tribal, and territorial public alerting authorities that can be broadcast from the cell tower to any WEA-enabled mobile devices at locally targeted area. WEAs can be sent by the state and local public safety officials and the National Weather Service and the National Center for the Missing and Exploited Children and the President of the United States. I'm sure you all receive this kind of message, right? Especially in light of the rainstorm and the flood we are getting. We had more rain than any other time, I think. Anyway, so we are getting a lot of messages. See, our response to this kinds of warning can vary. Some people, somehow, they know how to manage this kind of thing. They shut off this warning system from their phone setting. Or some people just look at it and ignore it. They don't even read the text. They just ignore it because they know it was some sort of warning thing. Some are not concerned about it at all for whatever reason they have. Maybe they live in the top of the hill or top of the remote area where the water cannot reach. But others would heed the warning and follow them and become saved. Rapture is much like that. Rapture, listen please, will happen one day. Rapture will happen one day just as the Bible predicted. The Bible tells us that on that day, millions of people will disappear from the face of the earth in less than a millisecond. This evacuation will remove the God's born-again Christians from the disastrous effects of a coming earthquake, fire, and global chaos through God's righteous judgment for the next 7 years. Let's stop and pray. Father, mighty and awesome God we serve, in that you are. You know all things. You are all-powerful. You can be everywhere at the same time. That is your attribute. With that kind of power, instead of being arrogant, you are such a loving and humble God. Oh, Father, you loved us so much you sent your only begotten Son, that he may die for our sins, that we may have righteousness and holiness of Jesus Christ. There is no other God like you. Father, we pray your truth, your insight would come to our heart, that we may understand and grasp in this very important eschatological theology, that we may know, not be swayed by any other cults. Father, teach us. Anoint our heart that we may know. And anoint the one who speaks, that he may not say anything other than your word. Father, we are asking your will be done, and we pray that revival would happen before the rapture happened. Father, we pray, we want as many people as we can, then lead them and take them to heaven with us. And we cannot do that without your help. Father, we empower us. We are asking you to empower us in such a way that when we speak your word, Let it be oracle of God. And Father, we pray for the president, call himself a president, not so sure about him. And his mentality is getting worse and worse. Father, we pray that his administration may come to know Christ. And many evil people are in there, but you still give them opportunity to come to know Christ. So we pray for their salvation. And Father, we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way, wherever they are. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel. And there are a lot of attack and ambushes happening against them. And Father, we pray for our firefighters and EMT personnel. Father, we ask you to protect them, keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's start with understanding the rapture. The rapture is the event in which all who are born again Christian in Christ will be suddenly caught up from the earth to taken into heaven by him. It is said to occur at any unspecified time in the future. The word rapture is a translation of a Greek word hapazo, and the Latin word rapturus. That's where we get English word rapture. It occurs 14 times in the New Testament, and it means to carry off by force or cut up. I met one person. He was a Methodist preacher, and he was official chaplain of the Arizona State Prison Wilmore Complex, where I used to minister. He told me that there is no word rapture mentioned in the Bible, so rapture will not happen. And I was thinking, oh, you such a dummy. It is true that the Bible does not mention the word rapture, that seven-letter word rapture. However, it mentioned the word caught up that our memory was mentioned. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. If you're looking for any particular word of rapture in the Bible, you are not going to find. But when you do the word study with a Greek word, then you find it. Speaking of that, there is no word Bible mentioned in the Bible. Do you know that? The Bible means the book. It's the book we need to heed. There was a young woman who asked me what kinds of book I would recommend for her spiritual growth. So I looked at her and said, well, have you ever read Bible from cover to cover? She said, no. There you go. That's the one you start with. It is God's anointed book, infallible book, and there's no mistake in the word. Start with that. A few months later, I came across her and I talked with her, and she said, are you still on there reading the Bible? She said, no, I'm reading this book. Are you going to read the fallible book written by a fallible man instead of the infallible book written by God? She looked at me like, yes, you are so ancient, that look. So, yeah, I am ancient, but still, what I said is true. If you have a time, no, that's the wrong statement. You make a time to read the Bible every day. Every day. You got to finish this book once a year. And you're thinking, it is so long, 66 books. You know, if you read from beginning to end, no, not stopping, not sleeping, not eating, not doing anything, you can read the whole thing in 72 hours. Do you know that? If you spend 20 minutes of your time a day, you can read the entire Bible without any problem. You with me on that? So don't come up with an excuse. The two most important events in human history, in world history, are the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ. We give a great attention to his first coming, and as we should. But his second coming deserves no less. In fact, I could make a strong case for the even greater emphasis on the second coming than the first one. For every prophecy in the Bible about the birth of Jesus Christ, his first coming, there are 8 about his second coming. And 260 chapters in the New Testament contain 318 references to the second coming of Christ. Second coming cannot happen unless there is a rapture first. All right. In chapter 24 and 25 of the book of Matthew, they give us many signs that point to the second coming of the Lord. They include all the deceptions, war, famine, pestilence, and earthquake of the tribulation. But it is important to realize that no sign will be given to prepare us from the arrival of the rapture. It can occur at any moment, possibly before I finish this sermon. Go ahead, turn the light on, please. Are you ready? Are you a born-again Christian? Would you be ready for the rapture? And you may say, what do you mean, born-again Christian? Being a nice person doesn't mean anything to God. Do you know that? According to my Bible, Jesus said in chapter 3, verse 3 of the book of John, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. If you think that Jesus is God, if you think that Jesus is a Savior, if you think that Jesus is the Lord, and if the Bible is speaking the truth, you better believe that what he says is the truth. That what we just saw can happen. How are you going to be ready? I'll talk about that. Without any sign, without any warning, Jesus Christ will turn to rapture his saint and take them to heaven. Paul understood the implication of this signless event and means that we must be ready for the Lord's return at any time, at all time. Would you go to Titus chapter 2, please? Where is Titus? In the Old Testament? New Testament? Right after 2 Timothy? Chapter 2, verse 13. Don't sit there without turning your Bible. Okay, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. And someday we will see him as he comes down. Here's the things that we need to pay attention. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2. Chapter 5, verse 1 and 2, rather. By the way, we are going to go through the Bible verses, a lot of Bible verses today, so move your fingers. But concerning the time and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Verse 2. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so come as a thief in the night. You haven't seen any thief that making a broadcasting and they're letting you know, hey, I'm texting you. I'm going to come by your home and steal everything you have. Warning, warning. He doesn't do that. You know, if you hear or read from someone that I know when Jesus is coming back, stay far away from that person. A few years ago, a guy named Campbell, remember him? He said Jesus coming back in this particular date. Many born-again Christians shook their head and said, okay, we know for sure Jesus will not come back on that particular day. You see, that to claim the knowledge of the exact time of the rapture is to know what even the angel did not know, and what our Lord Jesus Christ did not know while he was on the earth. They are flat out lying. Go to Matthew chapter 24, please. In case I lied, right? Let's back it up with the Bible verses. Chapter 24, verse 36. But of that day and hour, what does it say? No. Say it again. No. Say it again like you mean it. No. Louder. No. Okay. Does it mean no one knows except one person? That means in Greek it says no one knows. That means in English no one knows. That means no one knows in Korean, even Southern Swedish, which is my native language, right? Don't let anyone fool you. Back to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52. I wasn't joking, we're going to thumb through the Bible a lot today. In a moment, how short? In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, therefore the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Stop there, please. The Apostle Paul's reference of a twinkling of an eye naturally conjure up to the image of an eye blinking. Is that true? Eye blinking is a fast. It's a fast. It's reasonably fast. But Paul's twinkling probably doesn't mean a blinking. What's a twinkling? It's likely referred to the amount of time takes for the light that is traveling 186,000 miles per second will be reflected on the retina of in one's eyes. The whole idea is that this event will occur suddenly at the speed of light. In less than a nanosecond, the Lord will call all his all believers to himself to share his glory. Some people say, well, before rapture happened, I'll confess my sin, I'll receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You don't have that time. You cannot even say Jesus, because as soon as you try to open your mouth, it's already happened. It is invitation, those RSVP only. Why do I say that? Go to John chapter 14, verse 3. Chapter 14, verse 3. Jesus speaking. If you have a red letter Bible, this is red letter. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. RSVP is a French phrase. I tried to pronounce it. I thought, wow, this is way above my head. So I'm not going to torture you with my French lesson. It is a written request for you to respond, either yes or no. When you get an RSVP invitation card, you have to, if you cannot go, you must say, regret, I cannot be there. If you can go, yes, I will be there. It's not something you can ignore. If you ignore and you choose to show up at that some party, and you showed up, hey, I'm here, let me in. And they'll say, no, you're not in our list. It's RSVP only. That means either you say yes or you don't. By ignoring, you are saying what? No. Going to heaven is much like that. The invitation was given by God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. The RSVP must be made by every single human being without an exception. Are you with me on that? You cannot say, well, my daddy is a preacher. My mama is, she plays in the worship team. Doesn't mean anything. If you are not a born-again Christian, guess what? You are not going into heaven. Only those who receive Jesus Christ as the Savior and Lord are born-again Christians, and that is their RSVP. When the rapture happens, those who are born again will enter into the heaven, no exception. Some of you are already thinking, you said that we're going to go to heaven by rapture. Yes, I said it. I'm going to say another 20 more times before I finish this sermon. It is that important, theology. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a voice of, bless you, voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God. There will be a shout with the voice of an archangel and trumpet of God. All this time, the Lord Jesus had been waiting for this from the permission from God the Father, to go get his saint and all the born-again believers out of the earth. I'm sure that God's trumpet sound will be blaring and loud. However, unbelievers cannot hear that because they have no idea because they don't have a Holy Spirit within them, and they cannot hear. Next moment, born-again Christian will be taken out of the world. Think about this. Of course, I always pick on a guy named Charlie, right? And Sue. They are husband and wife. Or no, let's say they are boyfriend, girlfriend. They are holding hands in hand. They are walking down the street. Sue is a born-again Christian, and Charlie is not. Rapture happened. Sue is taken away. And Charlie will stay behind, left behind. In other words, the hand he was holding all of a sudden gone. Can be devastating, isn't it? Think about the scene. Let's say there's 300 people inside of an airplane, Boeing 777, and flying in the air about 40,000 feet above ground, and the co-pilot and the pilot, both born-again Christian, and the rapture happened. Guess what happened? And you are driving your vehicle on I-19 is also known as Kamikaze Highway, right? Because some of the golf cart comes on your way, facing you. And you are driving, of course you are born again Christian. Poop, gone. What do you think your car will happen? You're going 75 miles per hour and you're on the left lane. Since the road is sloped a little bit, eventually your car will start to pull to right. Pull to left? No, because it sloped this way. Anyway, whether it's right or left, it's going to cause accident. In other words, when the rapture happens, there will be millions of people disappearing, and the car accident, airplane accident, boat accident, all of that will happen in no time. Am I making sense? All the evidence clearly shows that the rapture of the saint will be a cosmic spectacle like nothing human have ever heard or encountered. Let's start the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We're going to read that portion again. But I do not want you to be, Apostle Paul speaking, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep. Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. And thus, we shall always be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, Paul identified the five major aspects of rapture in their sequential order. First thing we see is the return in verse 14. Before we go there, let's keep your finger right in 1 Thessalonians. Go to Acts chapter 1, please. We need to hear from what the angel is speaking. Are you guys following me so far? And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, the two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Stop, please. In the rapture, it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself who is coming. He doesn't come down all the way to the ground, the touchdown. He will be pretty much in the air. This is in keeping with the word of the two angels who spoke to the disciples at the time of Jesus' ascension in Acts chapter 1. If Jesus is to descend in the same manner in which he ascended, then we can certainly expect his coming would be personal and physical. Second thing we find is resurrections in verse 15 of the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive will remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The word used to describe the state of has a great significance for every believer today. Paul said they have fallen asleep. I'm talking about those who are dead. And the word that translates asleep used in the Greek koimao, which has as one of its meaning, to sleep in death. Same word was used to describe the death of Lazarus in John chapter 11, Stephen's Acts chapter 7, and Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. This concept of death is emphasized in the wonderful word. All the Christians adopt the burying place of their loved ones. The Greek word is koimeterion. And we get the English word, what? Cemetery. That's exactly the thought that Paul expressed in the word with koimao or koimeterion. When Christian died, it is as if their physical body is slumbering peacefully in the place of rest and ready to be awakened at the return of the Lord. The Bible teaches us that those who are sleeping in Jesus Christ will not be left out of the rapture. As a matter of fact, they are the one who will be raised and start to depart the earth first, according to chapter 4, verse 16. Third aspect is a redemption, written in verse 17. Let's read verse 17. Then we who are alive remain shall be caught up together with him in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air. Thus we shall always be with the Lord. Not only those who have died, believers changed the part of resurrection, but the whole Paul spoke of those who are alive and remain. If this happened now, we will be changed. But to change the what kind of body? I'm glad you asked. Let's go to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. Are you following me so far? 1 John chapter 3 verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be what? Like him, for we shall see him as he is. Dr. Arnold Proctenbaum, Gesundheit, right? He's a renowned theologian. He's a Russian-American, but by heritage, he's a Jew. This is what he said. I like the way he said. It is possible the information as to the nature of the new body may be gleaned from the study of the nature of the resurrected body of Christ, of Jesus. According to the John chapter 20, we know that his voice was recognized as being the same as the one he had before the death, his death and resurrection. Also, his physical features were recognized, though not always immediately. What do I mean? What does he mean? On the way to Emmaus, two disciples were walking with, and Jesus showed up. They did not recognize him. Until he blessed their meal, they didn't recognize him. And it was very real body of flesh and bone and not mere phantom body, since like a Jehovah's Witness theology says, since it is embraceable. Remember, Mary just clung to him, probably choking grip. She's now about to let him go. The resurrected Messiah also be able to suddenly disappear and go through the walls. That would be fun. Have you ever had that kind of problem? It says a push, but you're trying to pull. And sometimes you walk right through, try to walk through the patio door. How many times you bonk your face? If I ask you to raise your hand and you don't raise your hand, you're lying through your teeth. It was a body that was able to eat food. Hallelujah. We get to eat food. We don't have to worry about calories. Fourth step is the rapture itself in verse 16. While the raptures are extremely rare, they have happened before and they will happen again. Do you know Bible record there were six raptures mentioned? Four of them in the Old Testament and two of them yet to come. And you're thinking, oh, now you're speaking the heresy. No, stay with me. Four raptures that they already happened, occurred, or experienced by the Enoch. Remember that guy? In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. And slide, Rob, we don't have it? Okay, I'll read it slowly. Four raptures that have already occurred were experienced by Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. Elijah, 2 Kings, verse 2, remember he was taken away with a chariot of fire. And Paul in the temporary duration in heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember he said, I don't know whether it's in the body or out of body. And I know the man who was in the third heaven in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1. Two raptures that are yet to happen are the rapture of the church and the rapture of the two witnesses as prophesied in Revelation chapter 11. The Lord Jesus will descend from the heaven, and those who have been resurrected from their death and those who have never died are going to be snatched up out of this world. This will happen instantly, no time to get ready, no prelude, and no warning. Last one, reunion, verse 17. I'm not going to read that because we read it already. The rapture set up and the delightful series of reunion. Number one, dead believers' body reunite with their spirit that are in heaven. Number two, resurrected believers reunite with the living raptured believers. Let's say there is a guy named Tom. He's a believer of Jesus Christ. He died. He was buried in Green Valley Cemetery. There's some similarity. And he's risen. How would you like to be a groundkeeper when that happened? Body coming out from the grave. And he's going to go up to heaven, and we will be caught up there in heaven, and we will meet together, right? And the last one, resurrected believers and the living raptured believers meet the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul pointed out, ultimate consequence of this reunion with the Lord is that there will be no subsequent parting. Once we get there, we get into heaven, that's it. When I was a baby Christian, I used to have this fear. Of course, that happened after I sinned against the Lord. And what if after I get to heaven, what if I do something wrong? I'll be kicked out of heaven. That's not going to happen. Okay? Once you get to heaven, you stay there for the rest of your eternal life. Verse 18 of chapter 4 in 1 Thessalonians. Therefore, comfort one another with this word. Comfort one another with this word. When the believers suffer the loss of family member or dearly loved friend, we have the Apostle Paul's description of the Christian death and resurrection that is needed to comfort each other in these losses. Christian death is not permanent. Rather, it is merely a slip. A time is coming when we and our loved ones will be reunited in the rapturous meeting when Christ himself calls us out of the world or out of our graves to be with him forever in an ecstatic relationship of the eternal love. God has sounded the warning loudly and clearly. You all heard what we need to do. They have come through the Old Testament prophet and then through the New Testament writers. Even through Jesus Christ. Firestorm is coming, folks, in the form of 7 years tribulation. When no Christian influence will be tempered, the evil that will plunge earth into the pot of the misery and devastation. I heard somebody say, after the rapture happened, unbelievers speaking, and said, you know, when that happened, I will confess my sin and become a Jesus Christ's follower. Let me ask, if you have that mentality, let me ask you this question. You would not receive Jesus Christ without a threat, okay? But what makes you think that you would become a Christian when the people threaten your life? If they will say, if you receive Jesus, if you just denounce Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you can be saved. You don't have to die. What makes you think that you would not do it? Don't think that it's not going to happen. Here is my warning for you. If you are not a born-again Christian, please listen up. This is the time all the believers start to pray. You can avoid the destruction and be evacuated. You can enter your name on the list of those who will hear the trumpet call of the rapture by turning to Christ. Revelation 21:27 says, they shall be by no means entering anything that defiles, cause an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I said this, John chapter 3, verse 3 says, unless you are born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. Speaking the same thing. Folks, listen up. If your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you are doomed. Unless you choose to change by confessing your sin and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I don't know where you are. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your heart, if the rapture happened right now, you will be left behind. Are you with me on that? And those who are born again Christian will go to heaven. And some of you may say that, well, you say that because you're a Christian, you're a preacher. No, it's not something I said, what this Bible says. You can call the Bible whatever you want. You can say, it's not true. It's an old ancient book. Then why are you here? If you don't believe this, why are you here? Folks, This is a life and death decision. I want all of you to close your eyes, bow your head. Are you born again Christian? I don't want you to walk out the door without having Jesus in your heart. And you may ask, what can I do to become a born again Christian? It's very simple. You don't have to knock on the door, or you don't have to clean your life to become born again Christian. Just say in your heart, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. My sin has separated me from you. I would like to receive Jesus into my heart and live for you for the rest of my life. You say that in your heart now. Don't let the pride stop you. Don't let anything stop you from doing that. Or even the person who was sitting next to you, if you came with that person, do it now. If you've done that, I want you to raise your hand. If you receive Christ for the first time, if this is the first time, I want you to raise your hand high.
Okay.
Now I'm speaking to the backsliders. You thought the world offers something better than what Christ offers. So you've been dabbling in the world and thinking that you might have a fun. But you are the most miserable person. Come back to Him. The Word of God said, do not be the friend of the world or anything in the world. If you do, the love of Father is not in you. Make up your mind, either for God or against God. Come back to Him and stay with Him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. As we start a brand new week, Father, you lead us in such a way that we may glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name, amen.